Okay, so Ta'anit Perek Dalet Mishnah, Dalet Mishnah 4.
Oh, there's the papers.
Kol yom sheyesh bo halel, en bo ma'amad b'shaharit. Any day which has halel in it, there is no ma'amad in shaharit. They did not conduct the special ma'amad, the special prayers for the people representing representing the korbanot in shaharit. The reason being that the ma'amad has certain elements of repentance to it. We said they were fasting. They took out the Sefer Torah and read their own private things. So because there was a little bit of a tension over here now, the ma'amad are kind of doing their own thing. But it's a day that has halel. It's a day like Chanukah, where you're taking out the Torah anyway. You're saying halel, it's supposed to be a day of happiness and rejoicing, not fasting. So the Hachamim say over here that on such days, the ma'amad would not meet separately for shaharit. They would pray together with the rest of the people, right? They would not have their own supplications and all kinds of things. They would not conduct the ma'amad. Korban Musaf, a day which has Korban Musaf, for example, Rosh Chodesh, let's say, en bo bani'ilah. So they would not have the ma'amad even for tefilat ni'ilah. Right, so what does he say over here? I'll just read to you the explanation that Rabbeinu Ovadia Mibar Tenura brings here. He says, Rosh Chodesh sheyesh bo korban musaf, Rosh Chodesh which has the element of a korban musaf offering, lo hayu korim shum parasha b'ne'ilah. They would not read any of the parashiyot, they would not take out the Sefer Torah or read any of the special tehinot or anything when it came to tefilat ni'ilah. V'kol sheken shelo hayu korim parasha b'musaf atzmo. And for sure they weren't doing it on musaf itself. V'lo b'mincha, not in mincha, she'i kodim ni'ilah, she'korban musaf hayad dohe otam. So essentially on days when there was a korban musaf, like Rosh Chodesh, the entire ma'amad would just basically be pushed off, right? It would completely be not done.
What?
The ma'amad would also pray ne'ilah. The ma'amad themselves, right? The ma'amad was very similar to almost like 4 days of Yom Kippur straight through, right? There was fasting. They took out the Torah. They prayed 5 tefillot. It was almost like Yom Kippur for 4 straight days, in a manner of speaking. They didn't fast at night or whatever it is, but that's basically what it was. But now, if it happened to be that as part of the ma'amad, it was a Rosh Chodesh, let's say, so they would not conduct the special things in the reading of ne'ilah or anything like that, because the korban musaf, the fact that they had to do the Qurban Musaf, would push off all of that concept of the Ma'amad. Again, these are all things that are talking at the time of the Beit HaMikdash, where there's Qurbanot, so they have to push things off because of the Qurbanot. So there's a whole, there's a lot of tension and things going on over here. There's a lot of different opinions as to how to understand this. There's a couple of different arguments, but since it's not so relevant to us practically today, I think we'll just take this at face value and we'll move forward. The last thing that gets mentioned here, Qurban Etzim, En bo b'mincha. So on a day which had what was called korban etzim. What is korban etzim? We're going to see in the next Mishnah what the korban etzim was.
They were preparing for the wood. They didn't have time.
Right. So the kohanim would bring a special gift to replenish the wood that was necessary in the Beit HaMikdash. This seems like a very insignificant thing, but if you're thinking about a Beit HaMikdash where one of the mitzvot is, you have to have a fire 24/7 in the Beit HaMikdash, continuous. That's why we have in our shuls, we have the Ner Tamid to emulate what was done in the Beit HaMikdash with the fire going consistently. So wood is of premium importance. And so donations of wood was something that was important. And there was a rotation about the Kohanim and people bringing wood to the Beit HaMikdash to be able to serve for that. Marcelo, do you mind leaving a few things out? Because I didn't make a plate for breakfast. Thank you. Sorry. I don't know if I wanted to get it.
All right.
It's going anyway. It's going anyway. Okay.
Rabbi needs breakfast.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So there was a korban etzim. So when on the days, it says, Yom sheyesh bo korban etzim ve'en bo korban musaf. If there was a day in which the kohanim needed to bring their sacrifice of etzim, their donation of etzim, and there was no korban musaf, so sheken ayu mishpachot b'Yisrael sheyu mitnadvot etzim lema'arechet b'yamim mesuyamim b'shana kimfurat b'mishnah ba'a. We're going to see in the next Mishnah that there were different families that had a rotation of bringing wood to the Beit HaMikdash periodically. So let's say it was the day where this family was going to bring wood to the Beit HaMikdash, and it wasn't a day of korban musaf. So what would happen is on such a day, ubeyom hava'at ha'etzim hayu mevi'ot korban ola nedava. On such a day, they would bring together with their wood, they would also bring a few animals to sacrifice out of thanks to Hashem. ועושה להם אותו יום טוב, ויש עושה שבזמם הביאו קורבן עצים. So on such a day where they had what's called קורבן עצים, they would do that in the afternoon, the ma'amad would be pushed off from the afternoon, because since people were involved now with the קורבן עצים and with those sacrifices, and that was a happy kind of occasion, they would push off the ma'amad from mincha. So this Mishnah is really talking about in what kinds of scenarios did the ma'amad not meet, did they push off for other concerns. We said if it's halel, they pushed it off for shaharit. If there was a day of musaf, they pushed off for mincha and ne'ilah and musaf as well, because they were preoccupied with the korban musaf. If there was a korban etzim, they would push off the ma'amad in mincha, because they were preoccupied with the sacrifices of the etzim. Anytime there was a preoccupation with certain korbanot and a certain uniqueness to the day, the ma'amad would shift. Otherwise, the ma'amad would read regularly. Any questions on that? Okay. Amar lo ben Azai. Ben Azai disagreed and answered back to, this is Divrei Rabbi Akiva, I should say. Everything we did until now is the words of Rabbi Akiva. Amar lo ben Azai, a rabbi by the name of Ben Azai, refuted or disputed Rabbi Akiva. He said, Kai chaya Rabbi Yoshua shone. Rabbi Yoshua would learn it slightly differently than you, Rabbi Akiva. Korban Musaf en bo ben Mincha. On days that had a Korban Musaf, so they pushed off Musaf and Mincha, but they didn't need to push off Ne'ilah. Ne'ilah is much further down. There's no reason why they're going to be preoccupied with the Korban Musaf so late in the day that as to need to push off Ne'ilah. They just needed to push off Musaf and Mincha, which was around that time. Korban Etzim, however, if they did the Korban Etzim when they brought their wood, that usually took place much later in the day, and so he says En Boba Ne'ilah. They would push off the Ma'amad from Ne'ilah, but not necessarily from the earlier things. So he has a little bit of a different take depending on when some of these Korbanot were being performed during in the Beit HaMikdash. Rabbi Akiva heard this. Hazar Rabbi Akiva. When Rabbi Akiva heard that Ben Azai quoted in the name of Rabbi Yoshua, who was Rabbi Akiva's teacher, who was one of his previous rabbis, and also a contemporary at the same time, when he heard such a thing, Hazar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva changed his opinion, Lihiyot Shoneh Kibet Shammai, to recite the Mishnah in accordance with the opinion of Ben Azai. So here Rabbi Akiva has his own view. When he hears the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua, he actually agrees with it and changes his view. Love this it. Is a something we see Yoshua from Rabbi Akiva. Ben Azai quoted Rabbi Yoshua.
When
Rabbi Akiva heard in the name of Ben Azai what Rabbi Yoshua, who was of the previous generation, said, he realized that maybe he had erred or was faulty, and he said, I'm going to learn the Mishnah the way Rabbi Yoshua is. So I would say two takeaways from this Mishnah. A, you see Rabbi Akiva's humility in hearing something else from a previous generation or something that he thought made more sense and changing his opinion. And really the other takeaway is halachically that we see that the ma'amad kind of shifts when there's a preoccupation with something else.
And that's a fast, right?
The ma'amad was a fast as well. It was a fast. There was a fast element to it. They would still fast, but also it was the getting together in the. It was the ma'amad was the people gathered. The members of the ma'amad would gather in the shul to say special supplications, to read from the Torah, to do special things in relationship to the ma'amad. And so, if they were preoccupied with the korban or there was a happiness or festivity on that day, then they would delay or push off the ma'amad at that particular thing. So, and maybe a takeaway for that practically is that despite things conducting themselves certain in regular ways, when unique things happen or there's a preoccupation with other things, so sometimes those things kind of get pushed off depending on the needs. So I think that's the takeaway from this Mishnah. Again, not so much for practical elements, because a lot of this is inside of the Beit HaMikdash, and we're going to have one more Mishnah that's going to do this as well when we talk about the Korban Etzim in the next Mishnah, and then we're going to get to more of the practical things in Mishnah Vav when we get to 6, talking about the fast days, and that'll take us to the end of this Masechet. So we have one more Mishnah to hang on to with the Beit HaMikdash, which is interesting stuff. You'll see the rotation of the bringing of the wood in the Beit HaMikdash, and then we'll get to some of the more practical fast days of the year. Baruch Adonai Olam, amen v'amen.
Amen.